missing a page.
Oh, here we go.
You got it?
I will. I'll have it here a minute. It's page 44. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Greetings, everyone, all those who are here. I just want to say thank you for being here with us today. And all those who are online, greetings, and thank you for being with us. Why don't we go ahead now and just give everything over to the Lord and pray, give Him all the glory, praise, and the honor. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we come before You right now, O Lord God, and we give You all the praise, the glory, the thanks, and the honor for what You're doing today, Lord God. In the hearts and minds and lives of all those that are here, all those that are online that would hear this message down the road, we give You all the praise, the preeminence, O Lord God, that You deserve, O Lord, in our hearts, that You would be lifted up and we would decrease, that You would increase. I pray, Lord God, that You would be with us today now, that the Holy Ghost would be here with us, that You are invited, O Lord God, the Holy Ghost, to lead, guide, and direct the whole service. I pray now, Lord God, that You would just be here with us today now, Lord God. That Your name would be glorified and magnified. O Lord, that we would be instructed by Thy Spirit to know how to think, do, and say. O Lord, how to live our lives according to the conduct written in the Word of God as we are to follow suit, O God. How to obey and walk by faith and obedience. In Jesus' name, under the blood. We pray now, Lord God, that You would lead, guide, and direct the service. Walk the aisles of every heart now. In Jesus' name, under the blood, we pray. Amen. Praise God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord God. Well, we're going to go ahead now and just give everything to the Lord. And it's good to see that people did set their clocks back 1 hour. Everyone's on time, praise God. That's wonderful. And all those that are online, no doubt, the same. Praise God. And do we have any announcements to make?
You know, I just was thinking, we had this, I had the privilege of talking to a man from Vietnam a couple days ago, and we prayed for him. I think he had trouble. He had trouble sleeping, and we prayed for him, and the Lord helped him, and he's been sleeping. But he was wondering, he had some questions, and he was asking about things like the mark of the beast, and he was wondering if the Obamacare was actually the mark of the beast, and asking some really good questions. And then he pointed out to me, and I haven't been able to look this up yet, but he pointed out to me that there's a provision in the health care plan, Obamacare plan, to exempt from it. I think if you have a certain religious background. And so I have to look into it. I do have this right here to look it up here on the internet. I haven't, like I said, I haven't done it yet, but I just felt like really wanted to mention that. I know we're going to be traveling, Lord willing, and not here for a little while, but I think the Lord's going to make a way for us, you know, one way or the other. I've been praying that He'd bring down that health care plan, and one way or the other, we've got to believe that God is going to make a way for us, and perhaps this is, I mean, the mark of the beast is here, it's upon us, and we need to be stirred in our hearts. We've got to give our hearts to the Lord and get right with Him and do the things that matter. I mean, it's time, really time for Zion to awake and trim our lamps and get ready. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that. And I just hope, you know, y'all be praying for us as we travel. Because, wow, even the places in Texas have have a Celtic background. So we're going to a place called the Golden Triangle, and the headquarters of Ku Klux Klan.
Port Arthur area.
That area, there's quite a thing there, even then the Lord wheels into Mexico. So we need to pray. We praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Shirley, for that bit of info. That's wonderful. And truly, we did pray the other day, too, against Halloween. And the next thing we knew was that a major storm rolled through and interrupted all kinds of Halloween activities across the country. And I thought that was really interesting because we earnestly prayed against that Halloween procedure that people would be getting involved with. And I do believe that I don't care if it's one of you out there praying, somebody online, or me or Shirley or anyone else, we have power with God to pray earnestly in the Holy Ghost and good things will happen. We're assured of that. Amen? And we can have confidence towards God. And I believe good things will continue to happen if we will but put our trust, hope, faith, and confidence in what the Lord can do through us, not we in and of ourselves, but rather what the Lord can do. Amen? And so I'm hoping that first we can, I was going to start out with what a friend we have in Jesus, but I just, the Lord's kind of working on me to go with number 43 first. Count your blessings. You know, I want to make mention to you, and by the way, it's good to see you all here. Praise God. And if there's anything, is Nick okay? Oh, praise God. I was just going to say if he needs any prayer for anything, but we continue to pray nonetheless. But I just want to remind you of something here. Count your blessings. It's not always a bowl of cherries out there. You see, sometimes your blessings will come through heartache. Sometimes your blessings will come through tragedy. Sometimes the blessing comes in sorrow. And if you don't understand that, you will.
That's right.
One day you will, if you persevere with Christ. Let's go there. When upon life's bellows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all
all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, counting them by one. Name your blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy when you to bear? Count your many blessings, every good will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count His blessings. Your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, count them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Praise God in heaven. Oh, thank you folks for covering for me out there today. Praise God. Sometimes my mind gets ahead of my mouth. I can't seem to get the words out sometimes, so praise God. Okay, well, let's go to 44. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Let's go there. Carry everything God in prayer. Heavenly trials and temptations, is there trouble everywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Heavy laden, covered with the load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your Holy Spirit. Praise the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You know, you always know when the Holy Ghost is moving because people's hearts will feel unworthy of God. People's hearts will want to bow down and say, Lord God, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, Lord God. Like Peter, who says, depart from me, Lord God, I'm a sinner. But Jesus had a plan for such a person. God will not despise the brokenhearted, the contrite. Amen. But He has a plan for such a person. Praise God. And He will use you, every one of you here. Because you see, there's a hunger. God wants to use you. Amen.
Praise,
praise God for that. I pray now that we could just go now to a song, if I can find it. Friendship with Jesus, number 103 in the chorus book. Friendship with Jesus. Blessed sweet communion, Jesus is a friend of mine.
with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what a blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine.
One more time.
Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what a blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine.
Praise God in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Every day with Jesus is a new day. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, His mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Lord God. I guess we will go to one more. Number 39, Have Faith in God. It's been a while since I've even sung that. 39, Have Faith in God, if we could go there. One more time. One more song. Have Faith in God.
Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. In God for deliverance, have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance, have faith in God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, praise God in heaven. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord God. The Holy Ghost, the God of the Holy precious, the Lord God Almighty. Precious is the Word of God. Precious is the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ. Thank you for the precious blood. Thank you, Lord God. The blood of Christ. Cover my mind and my body. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise you,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, if anybody has anything that they would care to share with us today, a prayer request, a testimony, anything at all for edification, comfort, exhortation, prayer request perhaps. Sister.
I said a prayer for Joel's dad because he was in the ER yesterday.
Okay.
And he has a heart monitor on him the next couple of days. So just to pray that everything is okay and for his parents to actually want to listen about Jesus.
Amen, sister. Okay. Now this is Joe's dad. And he's in the hospital with a heart monitor.
He's home now.
He's home now.
But he has a heart monitor on it. He passed out yesterday morning, so he had an ambulance ride to the hospital.
Oh, okay. Okay, but he's home, but he needs prayer. And he also needs prayer for the Lord to perhaps draw him, open his eyes and ears and heart to... Okay, praise God. All right. Sister.
He was in the green one
Okay, well, that would be wonderful too. Yes, sister. Thank you for that. That's very thoughtful and kind. Thank you. And if anybody would care to pray for us, you can feel free at your own will. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll pray for it. When are you guys leaving?
We're leaving tomorrow morning early.
Okay, then you're going to Texas and Mexico?
Yes, sir. Yeah, Doug, we're going down to southern Texas, down into the area called the Golden Triangle. A lot of occultic things are going on down there even now. A haven for witchcraft, Masonic works. It's heavily indoctrinated in occultic practice, witchcraft, Catholicism. It's a major occultic triangle. And it's in the Port Arthur area, going northbound towards Beaumont, Vidor, surrounding areas of that nature. So that's where we're heading. And then from there, we're going to be heading down into, by the grace of God, Mexico, going into the interior, and going to be driving from Laredo a good 9 hours and 15 minutes down into Guadalajara, Mexico, Guadalajara, San Miguel area, towards the middle part of Mexico, and looking to get the Word of God out there as best we know how. We have a lot of tracts that I know that Jane and Anna had printed for us, and we're going to be working on towards that end. We should have a hunger to get out there and spread the Word of God to those who have never heard before the truth. And that's the whole point and purpose and plan behind all of this, and asking the Lord to lead, guide, and direct us. So, yeah, that's our the whole point of the mission trip there. And we're going down to Texas that people might be baptized in Jesus' name. So, why don't we do this? Doug, if you want to pray first, and then I'll go ahead and pray for Joe's dad also. His name is?
Jim.
Okay. And then we'll pray for Jim, okay? Is there any other requests that people need to know or would like us to pray for? Yes?
Well, I don't know if it's for prayer or nothing, but like 2 weeks ago, we were in church here and I had a request that I needed a miracle.
Yes.
But I didn't want to say what it was.
Yes.
Well, anyways, I think I got 2 deliverances that day.
Wonderful. Praise God. What a testimony. Thank you. That's wonderful, Doug. I mean, that was 2 weeks ago, and it's still holding true today. So that's a wonderful testimony.
Praise
Amen. Wonderful. Praise God. And all glory to God, because God's the one who gives the increase. All we do is water a situation by prayer. We sow seeds. But the Lord gives the increase. Amen.
Amen.
And we give God all the glory, the praise, and the honor for that. I'm nothing. And anyone can tell you that. And I praise God for that, because to be lowly in Jesus is to stand straight in the face of sin and temptation, to be strong against the wiles and wickedness of the evil one. And so if we are keeping our focus on Jesus, we're going to be lowly and trusting in Him and by faith. Amen. Okay, so Doug, if you would like to pray then, and then I'll go ahead and pray then for Jim, and then we'll take up our tithes and offerings collection, that sort of thing.
Father God, we just thank you for sunshine we got today, dear Lord. And we thank you that we
thank you, Father,
and worship you again, Lord. And now we ask that you would bless Shirley and Tim as they endure on their baptism mission trip. And ask,
thank
ask
you,
that you would be with them, Lord. You would have them reach the people that you would want to be reached, Lord.
In Jesus' name, Lord.
That you would keep them safe and give them,
thank
give
you,
them
Lord.
Place and give them and keep them safe, Lord. And that,
praise
that
God.
You would bless them, Lord, and build their faith through all this, and that they would be a blessing.
Thank you, Lord God.
In Mexico, and they hand out tracts and witness that if there is anybody
praise
in Mexico,
God.
Lord,
Jesus'
that,
name.
That needs a church like this or just needs the truth, Lord, that it will get out there.
Thank you, Lord.
In the hands of people that need it most, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And give down there, give the people hope, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, praise
that this will bring, Lord.
Oh, dear God.
I ask you that you cover them with the blood and just continue to bless them.
Oh, praise God.
With a good word, what happened, and just have your way with them, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Under the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for that wonderful prayer of faith. And all those who have prayed in agreement and one accord, thank you for that. And that's well received. Thank you. Now, I would like to pray for, first of all, perhaps we could take up our tithes and offerings, and then we'll pray for Jim, and then we'll pray for the service. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Now, we're going to go ahead now and lift up Joe's dad for prayer, and then we'll get on with the service. Praise God. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless it, use it, multiply it, and bless the giver. And now, Lord God, I pray too now for Joe's dad, Jim, who's in the care of his family right now, Lord God, with a heart monitor and at home. But Lord God, I pray that you would do a work in not only healing that man by the blood of Christ, but that, Lord God, you would open his eyes, his ears, and his heart to see, to hear, and to understand, and have a desire, Lord God, that somehow, some way, that, Lord God, you would put a hunger there. That he would have a desire to want to know more, to read the Word, perhaps, to pray, to ask for someone to pray for him. Lord God, that you would do something there, Lord God, that you would begin a work, a seed, let it be watered. Somehow, Lord God, that the prayer would get through, Lord God, that the devils would be bound and rebuked right now in Jesus' name. And Lord God, that you do a work of a miracle in that man's life for Jim, oh Lord God. That you would find a way, Lord God, to plant seed into his heart. Somehow, Lord God, we all agree in one accord, in one agreement, by faith, is touching this thing, Lord God, now. Let every demon and every devil in hell be bound and rebuked. Oh Lord God, from getting in the way. I pray, Lord, that your power, that your the Holy Ghost, O Lord God, the Word, would not return void from that man, whether by prayer, by witness, O Lord God, or by an unction by the Holy Ghost, whether, O Lord God, as you would lead, guide, and direct that whole affair with that man, that you would order his footsteps in Jesus' name. We pray now, Lord God, for this service too. Let every devil in hell be bound and rebuked right now in Jesus' name from interfering in any way. And I pray, O Lord God, that your word would go forth uncompromised in any way, Lord God, but that your spirit would have its way here today in the hearts and lives of all those, O Lord God, that would listen in, that would be here, or that would hear this message down the road. I pray in Jesus' name under the blood in one agreement and in one accord now. Let every devil and demon be bound and rebuked. O Lord God, against every form and type of curse or hex or anything of that nature, Lord God, we come against it right now in Jesus' name. O Lord God, that every word go forth and not return void, that, Lord God, you would be magnified and glorified today. In Jesus' name, under the blood we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. And thank you, Shirley, for that wonderful piano. Appreciate that, sister. Praise God. And I'm going to ask if you would turn with me now. Thank you, Sam. And to turn with me now to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 20. The name of the message is To Lay Down One's Life. Amen. To lay down one's life. And isn't it interesting how that in the life of Jonathan and David, that gallantry, that effort by David to protect, or by Jonathan to protect David. Oh, what a friendship. In the midst of a perverse world, in the midst of a chaotic life, in the midst of unsureness and uncertainties, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of being attacked and not knowing who you can trust or go to for help. We always have a sure friend in Jesus.
Praise you, Lord.
But you see, there is one too. There is a type of Christ. Jonathan often being used as a type of Christ in the Word of God here. And how it was back in the 19th chapter of 1 Samuel, how that David fleeing the palace away from King Saul, who had decided that he was surely going to destroy David at any cost, went after King David. And he sent three sets of people who all ended up prophesying and praying and praising God. Amen? And Saul thought, well, if they can't get rid of David, then I'm going to go do it. Well, he went down there to Naioth and found himself doing the very same thing under the power of God as there was a great prophet, and he was Samuel, as he was with the people, his proteges, if I could say it that way, as they were praying and prophesying, and they were it was like a revival of sorts. And they were glorifying God, and all, and anyone who got within reach of that area fell down prostrate and started prophesying under the power, under the unction of the Holy Ghost. What power lies in the Holy Ghost?
Yeah. Yeah.
For without the Holy Ghost, there is no power at all. But you see, He can cause any circumstance to go your way when you have enemies coming against you and after you. No matter what circumstance you find yourself in life, no matter what situation you're in, He can turn things around in your life. He knows how. And King Saul, all he could do was humble himself. Although it wasn't a long-term thing with King Saul. King Saul had it in his mind and heart to do David harm. And as we had made mention last week, how that there are many people today who do the very same thing. On that day, many will say, Lord, Lord. And the Lord will say, away from me. You doers of iniquity, I knew you not. You see, many will prophesy and claim to have done many things in the Lord, but their hearts were far from Him.
Yeah.
But we know that when you are a friend of Jesus, that's going to be exemplary in your life towards your fellow neighbor. That's going to be showing through the very words and actions of your life. And we see that in the life of Jonathan. That type of Christ, that man of God, that gallantry of spirit, that nobility of heart, that man who never ceases to amaze me as I read the Word. And how few people there are like that today. What kind of friendship would it be like to find someone like that today in your life? To have that friend who would lay down his life for you. Amen? Jonathan's friendship it was at that time in David's life probably one of the most sweetest things he could ever think of above the life of a woman. How that Jonathan carried the sorrow and burden and care of King David. He went to his aid. But David, as we all go through in life, go through trouble. We have times of uncertainty. We have times where things just don't make sense. We go through life and things happen. As Pastor David once said, put a helmet on, it's rough out there. Amen? But here we have in verse 1, if you go there, of 1 Samuel chapter 20. And David fled to Naioth and Ramah and came and said before Jonathan. See, he was searching for Jonathan. He wanted to know where he stood with Saul. And he was also, for the life of him, unsure. He was at the end of his wits. He was running from King Saul. He couldn't trust him. In spite of that display of Saul at Naioth, as he was with Samuel, in spite of that, David turned and ran. He fled from him. He knew he couldn't trust Saul. And it was. And it goes on to say here, what have I done? As David talks to Jonathan, he's pleading with him. But he wants to know where Jonathan stood. In spite of that friendship, that covenant relationship that they had, as a godly relationship, a friendship that only two men know how to have, or two women could have, perhaps. And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life? He wants to know where Jonathan stands. He wants to know from his own words. Sometimes we all need that certainty from someone, don't we? Sometimes we all need that comforting voice. Someone to say, it's okay. I'm here. Don't worry. I'll pray with you. All will be well. Trust God. Amen? Oh, but what does it say here? In verse 2. And he said unto him, God forbid. Thou shalt not die. Oh, what a wonderful word to say to someone. Jonathan assures David of his loyalty, that strong, bright faith that Jonathan has. How we all need that strong, bright faith that shines, is not hidden. Amen. Behold, my father will do nothing ever, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. You see, Jonathan gave credit to his father's oath, didn't he? Amen. Those who usually walk with a pure mind will give credit and benefit of doubt to people. They will have that heart in them. Because things that a mind thinks of is pure. To a person who perhaps when you talk about someone, what comes to their mind? Is it an evil thing or is it a pure thing? Will tell the difference between what's in a person's heart. And here, like Jonathan, and like many before him, and like Daniel after him, like Joseph before and Daniel after, was Jonathan. Jonathan, a man who could be trusted with great integrity of heart. His life stood the test of time. And it goes on to say here, and David sware moreover, and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. Now David, what is he saying here? He's trying to show Jonathan, Jonathan, look, your father isn't all that he's showing himself to be. Not everything is as it appears to be. So it is in life. So it is in your life and my life. But David is trying to convince Jonathan now. Let not Jonathan know this. Now this is what David is saying about Saul. Saul is trying to hide this thing from Jonathan so that he can get at David. Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved, but truly as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. David feels death is inevitable. It's like he's walking on a slippery slope. He's walking on a slippery plank over a canyon. And it feels that way often in our lives, isn't it?
Amen.
We often walk into the dark, into a dark world, into a dark place. We don't know their language. We don't know their culture. We don't know their motives, their intentions, their evil desires. But you see, God's in control when you put Him, when you allow Him to be put there. When you take away yourself and let God be the throne of your heart, all will be well. And it goes on to say here, but he was a step between me and death. He was so discouraged. You ever been there? You ever been so discouraged where you think that there's just but a step between yourself and death? Have you ever been face to face with death? And it goes on to say in verse 4, then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it to thee. Oh, Jonathan in this relationship shines the most, doesn't he? Jonathan takes the lead. He has the least to gain and everything to lose. Here's a man, Jonathan, a type of Christ, as an example in Scripture for instruction and for reproof, for understanding the pattern of friendship. The pattern of friendship showing us how that we ought to live and die for others, for God, for our neighbor. Here, Jonathan, who had prior to this and previously given King David his cloak, his sword. What a gesture that is. In those days, for Jonathan to humble himself in such a manner, his life was already ordered to be the next king. And King Saul didn't want King David to get in the way. But there was a Jonathan. Is there a Jonathan in your life?
No, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon. Now, what's the new moon? Usually and typically people think it's like a full moon, but no. The new moon is when you have that little sliver of the moon as it begins. The crescent moon. That's the new moon. Goes on to say, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. Now this was a thing that happened in Israel often. They had many festivals, one of which was the new moon. And they celebrated that continually. But it goes on to say, if thy father, here's King David speaking now, if thy father at all missed me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city. For there is a yearly sacrifice there for all his family. You see, prior to this, King David, amid running, had no one, not even his wife, that he could go to. His wife, who bore false witness against him. But who is he going to? Jonathan. He finds great solace in Jonathan. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother, as Solomon would later write in Proverbs. And it goes on to say, if he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore, thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant unto a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? David dreaded more than anything else than to face Saul, than to have to be dealt with by Saul. Oh, he dreaded that more than anything. But here we find Jonathan's amazing temperament come forth. And Jonathan said, in verse 9, and Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell thee? Oh, you can just see the innocence of Jonathan, giving credit to his father's oath, believing that perhaps Saul really did mean well. Amen. But then it goes on to say, then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly? And Jonathan said unto David, come. Oh. Jonathan was always ahead, wasn't he? Always ahead of the game. Always thinking ahead. Come, let us go out into the field. And they went out, both of them, into the field. Jonathan again takes the lead. And what's he going to do, this meek and humble servant of God? And he says this, as he begins to pray another oath, not only before God, but before David. Jonathan was willing to do such a humble thing. You see, how many people that you know of in your life that has such a grand, gallant heart to come to the aid of someone who has very probability to take your place as a king, to take your spot over. And yet, he comes to his aid. He protects him. He comes to his aid because he loves him as his own soul. Boy, what friendship is that? And Jonathan said unto David, as he begins to pray, "Oh Lord, God of Israel, when I have sounded my father," in other words, when he has sought him out, when he has figured out what his intentions are, that's what it means by sounded, "my father about tomorrow, any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be a good towards David, and I then send not unto thee, and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it to thee," or thee, "and send thee away that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father." Here you have a man, Jonathan, willing to decrease, willing to become lowly for somebody else, to save someone who would very likely take his throne as king. We're reminded of John chapter 3:30, where it says, "He must increase and I must decrease." Isn't that true? Maybe, could we just go there maybe and read that? But before we go perhaps to John 3:30, where it says that, let's go to John 3:14. There it says, "And Moses, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." What I'm talking about here is that there comes a place we must all realize that we must take the background, step into the background. A servant of Christ who is seeking attention for himself is really a form of disloyalty. But Jonathan was a loyal, faithful friend. It goes on to say, if we go to verse 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." I just want to quickly go back to John chapter 1. What are we talking about there when we think about John chapter 1? We think about John the Baptist, don't we? You know, I'm thinking about, as I'm kind of bouncing around here in my thoughts, I'm thinking about David Livingstone, that African missionary who had led the natives through field, through mountaintops, deep valleys, across the plains, through thick forests, only to come to the end, the ocean. As the people thought and as they spoke, they said, "We have come to the end. It's the end. The ocean was the end." They had nowhere else to go. "It was no more of me," they said. But so it was with John the Baptist. What happened when Jesus came? It was the end of John the Baptist's ministry, wasn't it? You see, before we read verse 25 in John, if you want to go there, if we really want to be used by God, we must empty ourselves of every selfish desire we have and be yielded totally to the will of God to be used of Him mightily. Amen? Amen. It says here, "And they asked Him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither and that prophet? But John answered them, saying," what does he say? "I baptize thee with water. But there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who is coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethesda, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now that's the attitude every man and woman of God should have. You know, swallowing pride is a good thing. It won't give you calories or indigestion.
Amen. Thank
you. You know, that's kind of neat, ain't it?
Amen.
But nobody is so empty as those who are so full of themselves. You know, I'm reminded of that story of Narcissus. How that this Greek legend, myth, how that as he was walking about in this town, he was so handsome that all the girls in the town loved him. But he ignored them. And then until one day he looked into a clear pool and saw the reflection of his image, and he fell in love with himself. And he was so in love with himself that he stopped eating and drinking and couldn't stop looking at himself. Until there he died. You see, the love of self will cause you to die.
That's right, amen. Amen.
And so it is. This is what we're talking about. How that Jonathan was such a man that had that heart, that understanding, that willingness to take the back seat for the sake of somebody else. It goes on to say, if you go back now with me, to John chapter 3:30. It goes on to say here, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. We must be willing to forget ourselves. We must be willing to have that awareness of the worth and the glory that one has when they put their trust in God. They forget themselves. Amen. I'm reminded of a story, an African convert who had a disease, elephantiasis. It was a tropical disease that is very common. But that how that he... It is a disease where that the skin becomes coarse and thick and swollen. In his legs, he had this disease. But he was beginning, he was changed by the life of Christ in him. He wanted to go to villages. He went to every house in the village. After months of traveling through and through, he decided to go to another town 2 miles away. Through the thick forests, his legs were swollen, he could barely walk. And he made his way and he came back. After a few weeks, he got restless again and he asked this missionary doctor if he knew of any town in the area that needed or wanted to hear the word. Now, this is a man putting God first and forgetting himself. Here he was, looking for a way to spread the word of God, forgetting his own situation, putting God and others first. But the man said that there was a town 12 miles away, but he wouldn't recommend that he would go there. But then one night, early 4 o'clock in the morning, he slipped into the darkness through this dangerous forest full of hard-to-cross paths and forest valleys, these areas that were just almost impossible for any normal person to cross. Here this man with this disease, in the early morning, by walking 12 miles, went there, and he got there about a little afternoon, as the doctor would later find out, preaching to everyone there the word of God, many being saved. As the sun was sinking, he began his long journey back 12 miles the other way, back to his hometown. Made his way back in the dark, preaching Christ, village to village, with that kind of heart. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, 3. What does it say there? Let's start out in verse 1. But this should be our pattern of friendship, not only with others, but with God. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any comfort, bowls of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, isn't that what Jonathan was doing with David? Jonathan forgot himself, his reputation. He was meek. He took on that form of being a lowly, noble spirit, friend, faithful, a type of Christ. Let's go back now to 1 Samuel, if you will, with me. 1 Samuel, chapter 20, verse 14. And thou shalt not only, while yet I should live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. Jonathan had known in his heart that King David would be the next king. And it goes on to say, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Perhaps we could go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 and 7 talks much of this. Because isn't it true today that there is an incredible famine of faithfulness and loyalty in these end days? Incredibly so. Most men, it says here in verse 6, will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So friend, don't allow unfaithfulness to famish your life, your friends, or your family. But before God, commit yourself to be faithful from this day forward. Commit yourself to be faithful stewards of God. To those that are regenerated, the work of God goes forward. Sinners are sought. Seeds are sown. Souls are redeemed. The word of God is settled in their hearts. Proclaiming the word of God with prayer and power in the Holy Ghost. That's what we need.
Amen.
Let's go back now, if you will, to 1 Samuel 20:18. Then Jonathan said unto David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. Has anybody missed you in such a way? And then thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly, and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself, when the business was at hand, and shalt remain by the stone Ezel. What does that mean? Ezel means to show the way. Isn't that interesting? To show the way. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at the mark. Here David's waiting in uncertainty, great uncertainty. His whole future is pending by those 3 arrows that will be shot, whether before or beyond him. If it's before, he's safe. If it's beyond him, it's time to go. And behold, I will send a lad saying, go, find the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them. Then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. Here, Jonathan is talking to David in such a manner to protect him. Jonathan's treating him as he would want to be treated. His best interests at heart. And it goes to say here, and as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat down to eat meat. There's King Saul, coming to eat again with Abner by his side. And the king sat upon his seat as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall, And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat at Saul's side, and David's plate was empty. Place was empty. Here Jonathan's showing great respect for his father as he arose, as he comes in. Jonathan had such a nobility about him that it almost defies description. I just can't think of anyone who had a more noble heart than Jonathan. It would have to rival that of King David. Nevertheless, Saul spake out anything that day, for he thought something had befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. This is Saul's way of thinking. But usually and typically that was the case. However, usually when somebody didn't show up for a feast the first day, it was because they had to be cleaned or cleansed. Perhaps from a fault or frailty that in their life. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty again. Here it was empty again. And Saul said unto Jonathan, his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? He's earnestly asking now. Because you see, Saul isn't interested in David's welfare. He's interested only in the kingship of not only himself, not even Jonathan really, but in himself, because David was a threat to his kingdom. Why? Because David was popular. Why? Because David feared God. Why? Because David humbled himself. David was lowly, meek. Amen. And it goes on to say in verse 28, and Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. What happened next? And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commended me to be there, and now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me go away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore, he cometh not unto the king's table. Oh, but King Saul didn't believe a word he said. King Saul knew, but you see, that was the way King Saul thought. Jonathan was completely opposite of King Saul. Jonathan, now that would have had a good ring to it, King Jonathan. Jonathan had a heart that would have believed, would have given credit, due, and would have given the benefit of doubt to what somebody had said. But King Saul was different. He was wicked. He was evil. He was disobedient and disloyal. Not only to God, to others. You see, if you can't be loyal and faithful to God, you won't be to others either. That's just the way it works. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman. Now what was he doing? He was despising his own wife, insulting her, insulting Jonathan. Why? It was to get at Jonathan's heart. Why? To cause Jonathan to be poisoned by those words, so that he would think like Saul. Saul claimed that he didn't want David to take the throneship of Jonathan away. Amen? But it goes on to say, I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness. Now, these are war words. Usually and typically, when you insult your mom to your son, those are war words. You just don't get away with that. But Jonathan, what did he do here? But wait, what does it say? What is Saul saying here? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? You see that the kind of faithfulness, the kind of character that were instilled in Jonathan, not from Saul, but from God. Jonathan had a relationship with God. He had a kindred spirit with David. That's why they could have a covenant together. That kind of friendship that was loyal and faithful to the end. And Saul cast a javelin. You see, now here is Saul casting a javelin at Jonathan, claiming that he didn't want Jonathan's throne to be taken, but yet he was going to try to kill him right at this moment. And Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to slay David. He was greatly insulted. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and did eat no more meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. Now I would say that's very loyal. I would say that's some faithful friend to have on your side, that would take a stand for you while you're not there. Amen? And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed, with David and a little lad with him. And he said unto the lad, Run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And the lad ran. He shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried to the lad. Oh my. Jonathan understood the cost of doing right and being faithful. What did he say? Is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, Make speed. What's he saying? He's really talking to David. And Jonathan cried after the lad, Make speed. Haste. Stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad, and said unto him, Go, carry them into the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place towards the south, and fell on his face to the ground, and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded.
Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Oh, they wept as only strong men know how to weep.
Glory.
When weep they must or die. Amen. And Jonathan said unto David, Go in peace. For as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between thy seed and my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Oh my. Here's Jonathan talking about that peace. In the midst of trouble, Jonathan being that shield for David. Himself knowing that his life is at stake. Shielding David, the very one who would take his throne. That's a type of Christ. Let's go to John 15, if you will, with me. Before we go to John 15, I'm wanting to go to John 14, 34 and 35. Says here, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. There is an old poem that describes it well. To live above with those you love, undiluted glory. To live below with those below, quite another story. Interesting, I think. Now, why don't we go now to chapter 15 here in John. Talking about the vine. You see, the vine cannot bear fruit without branches. And the branches cannot bear fruit apart from the vine. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Together they constitute what? A fruit-bearing tree. It says here in verse 1, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You see, the branch is one with the tree because what? It draws life from the vine and bears fruit for the tree, the proper fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You see, we abide by being grafted in, becoming one with the tree. So when you're born again, when you're grafted in spiritually, you become one with Christ. You see, how does that done? When you're grafted in, you've got to take a knife and take away the bark, not only on the tree, the trunk, but the branch. And you tie those two together, they lay bare one to another, the branch to the trunk, so that the sap will give life. So it is with the blood of Christ. When we're one with Christ, the blood of Christ and His Spirit give us life. Amen. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You see, the purpose of a branch is to bear fruit. You don't plant grapes, for example, to admire the leaves, do you? No. You plant grapes to admire the fruit. Jonathan was like that vine dresser to David. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. And is withered, And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Say in verse 7 here, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask that ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Remember Jonathan's words to David? Whatever you wish, ask. I'll do it for you. I'll do it for thee. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. You see, Jesus submitted himself to the husbandman's knife in preparation to receive the fruitful branches. That life-giving sap is also that life-giving blood. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You see, how do you continue? When you put a branch on a tree, they often secure a branch by putting pitch and wax around that branch so that no air or water or anything disturbing can influence that branch from falling away. So it is with our life in Christ. The branch is secured with wax, pitch, or clay. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What is that? 1 John 1:4 talks about that, doesn't it? If we could go there. 1 John 1:4. If you have a chance to go there. Here it says, we're talking about joy in this verse. But I can't think of anyone more miserable than a Christian who hedges on disobedience or obedience, who can't obey fully. I mean, he does not love Christ enough to walk away from sin. And he does not love Christ enough to embrace holiness. It says here in verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You see, it begins with what? Abiding in Christ. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You see, what had happened to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 1:26, and I believe there's 46 verses in that chapter, I believe. That's what kept Israel out of the promised land. They didn't trust in God, except for Caleb and Joshua. It says here in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, joy is not the pleasure of ease, is it? But it's the exhilaration of knowing that you're right with God. That's joy. We can have that joy abiding in us today. Now let's go back, if you will, to John 15:12. It says here, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And this is where I got the title of my message today. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Oh, that Jonathan's example is exemplary. To note, are we able to follow those instructions, that pattern of friendship? Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you, says here. Wow. Henceforth, in verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Jonathan's life was much like that, how that he would make it known to David, one way or the other, because the love that he had for him was so profound. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. See, it's not enough to be called, but we are called to bear fruit. Should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. You see, disobedience to this command is why so many people lose their joy and peace. Right here. Did you know that? If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. As Christians, we can recognize that Jesus was already there, and that he hung on the cross for you and me for that reason. He did hang on the cross, but he died, but he arose again in glory, victorious. Amen? Victory over death.
Amen.
Over sin, death, and hell.
Praise the Lord.
If we were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater for his Lord than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. You see, don't expect to think that this life is a joy boat ride. Many of you already know it's not. Oh, it is. It is indeed a valley of tears. In many ways. But you see, we know that joy cometh in the morning. We have that hope. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. In other words, they had not known they were sinning, were it not for the Lord exposing that and revealing that to them. Amen?
Amen.
They had no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled in written in the law, They hated me without a cause. Now Saul did the same thing. David wrote about it in Psalm 69. But Saul hated David without a cause. He hated him. Reviled him. He wanted to murder him. That's what hatred does. Amen? But when the Comforter... Now, did you see that? The Comforter. Who is that? But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. You see, without the witness of the Holy Ghost, we are absolutely powerless. Absolutely and utterly powerless without the Holy Ghost. It goes on to say now, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Everything the Holy Ghost does is consistent with the testimony and nature of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? But we can have that humility in knowing that testimony and that nature, that humility that the Holy Ghost gives us. I'm reminded of Richard Baxter, who lying on his deathbed, and how that people had given him all these accolades of the many sermons and the written books that he's written and the many sermons that he had preached. As he lay on his deathbed, all he could say was, I was but a pen in God's hand. And what praise is there for a pen? I wanted to end with that. To lay down one's life, to walk with humility, much the way Jonathan did with King David. To me, that is an amazing account. The testimony, that type of Christ, that instruction on how we should live and die and conduct our lives for the glory of God. I'm hoping we can go to a song called Revive Us Again, 291, in the hymn book, and ask the Lord to revive us again as a prayer. Let's go there. Praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, for Thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and glory.
praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, divine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, by the glory, revive us again. Revive us again. Filling charged with thy love, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, by the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, by the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, by the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, by the glory. Revive us again. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now be dismissed on the prayer, but be free to join us downstairs for lunch.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. get in the Obamacare thing. This is, he sent it to me. I'd have to send him this link, I guess, so you could look it up too. Unless you already know what he's referring to.
I'm not sure. I have to look at it. I do know that the Obamacare zone.
Yeah. Right. And that may be. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. We may somehow manage to fit under that category. But he wants the Obama CD.
Okay. Yeah, it's a popular one. We sent out probably 1,000 of those, actually, maybe one.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what the exemption would be. There is an exemption for, where it's against your religion to have insurance. I do know there's that, which is why the Amish are considered exempt.
Oh boy, well, I do have insurance, but.
They still don't have an Obamacare website going, right? They say it'll probably be till the end of November.
Well, praise the Lord, I say.
That doesn't give people a lot of time to sign up. Another problem we have is people who do use the website, it's not secure, it's accidentally sending their documents to the wrong people, the users, and so forth, and sensitive information. Really bad. And meanwhile, one of Obama's promises was that if you write your insurance, you can keep your insurance, and there are thousands upon thousands of people getting cancellation letters in the mail. I didn't know if their insurance policy was canceled. And if they want a new one,
cost way more. Oh boy, yeah, it's just nothing but a tangle of mess.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. I pray the Lord it becomes a nothing. This is so such a folly. It's
definitely not where I'll start. I'll have some stuff to say.
Would you be able to give that to Jane or leave it at the office where she could see it on the table or something? Or either way, I should have just, she's disappeared.
I will be seeing Jane, so I can give this to Jane if you want.
Yeah, and then, or if you want to copy that link to, or I should, you want me to send it over to you? I can maybe send it, I can forward it to you, to his newsletter. To me, and talk to him on the phone.
Alright. Okay, as far as your trip, if I'm late for your morning, what do you think in this next part of the time? How long are you going to be in Texas?
We're going to leave by that weekend. Next weekend, I think we need to get into maybe one new month or so. I think on a Monday, we'll be traveling along, stretch, and pray that we get in there without anything else, delays, and throwing out our stuff. And then in jail, and he's shot.
Be careful,
everybody tells us that. Yeah, I know it.
Be careful with the border, too. I know you and Jim Cronin carry a lot of electronics here, but actually, because of the Patriot Act, the government has the right to seize and search any and all electronic devices you're carrying at the border.
Okay. You could even do so, then. Absolutely.
Yeah, take your phone, you might need it, they might search it, but take it anyway. You don't have anything to hide, so shouldn't be a problem. Yeah.
I almost had an iPod yesterday, but I sat there and prayed and said, Lord, if you know how they have those, because I wanted a translator for Spanish, and they were showing me some gadgets at Best Buy, and then like up in the fellow Matthew. Big tall guy. I said, look at this iPod he was showing me. I can do this. He scroll a little bit or whatever, look at it. You can translate. Just put the phrase in and then, it speaks. And so he was talking into that. I would have been in some way, like had an email possibly, a server.
You have to find your Wi-Fi hotspot. Yeah. I don't know how many of those are in Mexico. Yeah, okay, that'd be pretty trendy, Mom.
Well, anyway, they could not get the iPod was going to buy to translate it into Spanish. She could not download it. She's going to download it for me. And I'm their then you have to, well, what else? Are you shipping them probably to buy a case? And then, there's somebody else with another $20. And, you know, it's like, I wouldn't get a $7,500. They probably have to trace me the whole way and use the iPod and the darn details.
One of the reasons that they're probably pushing on really hard right now, I think they're on sale this weekend because Apple just released a new one.
Oh.
Probably trying to get rid of the old ones.
Okay.
Want to get the new ones in.
I may have scrambled down here, but okay, call me before you come aboard again. Or that's just in my car or something, so you know.
Okay. Yeah, I'll probably plan to come over a little later than we usually do then. A better chance to be home.
Okay, not really. I'm hoping to sleep tonight. We're on the other